The so-called Islamic State has been dealt a lot of blows in recent months, losing huge chunks of territory. But it's not just what's happening in Iraq and Syria. ISIS is also losing ground online. Its virtual caliphate has been the target of several cyber attacks, the latest on Friday, just hours after ISIS announced new security measures it said were unhackable. That didn't stop the Muslim hacking collective Dissension from publishing almost 2,000 email addresses of people subscribed to the ISIS propaganda network Amaq. Charlie Winter is a senior research fellow at the International Center for the Study of Radicalization, and he's noticed a change in ISIS presence online.
First of all, look at what it was doing back at the peak of its activities in, say, the summer of 2015. Now, I did a study back then, mid-July to mid-August 2015. And in that 30-day period, there were over 1,000 individual pieces of propaganda. Photo reports, videos, newspapers, radio bulletins, complete media products. Wow. And the narrative itself, the thematic priorities of the propagandists at the time, it was very complex. It wasn't just looking at the military effort. It wasn't just looking at brutality that we often hear about. It was looking at a whole raft of different issues. So whether it was the provision of education or social services, propagandists basically tried to show as comprehensive a spectrum of what they wanted life to be like in that part of the world. So over 1,000. And now, fast forward a couple of years to now, It is completely different. Now it's barely managing to get out 200. The infrastructure supporting all of this has been completely crippled. It's as if someone has pressed mute on the Islamic State.
So what does it tell us when this Muslim hacking group, Dissension, is able to grab 2,000 email addresses of people who are connected to this ISIS Amaq network?
Of course, that shows that the information security side of things isn't particularly impressive. What interests me almost more than the fact that they were able to get into that is that there are only 1,700 people on that emailing list. There seem to be tens of thousands of people consuming its propaganda, tens of thousands of people willing to do what the Islamic State wants them to do. But in actual fact, it's a much, much smaller number. And if all they could manage was 1,700, then it's not just the fact that it was hacked that's interesting.
What other kind of hacks has ISIS faced?
The coalition and its partners and hacking groups like this one have been aware of the fact that if you can chuck a spanner into the dissemination network of the Islamic State's propagandists, then that will cause a significant number of problems for them. Stopping propaganda from being circulated will have an impact. Aside from all that, though, there's the kind of operational stuff. So hacking into their records. I mean, we know that the Islamic State keeps meticulous records about who's doing what in the organization, where they are, how much money they have. I imagine there's been a significant amount of stuff done to try and penetrate that operational side of it.
So what is your sense, Charlie? How big a blow have these online attacks been to ISIS? I mean, can't they just make new accounts and keep going?
Of course they can, yeah. I mean, the people who are on that mailing list, I don't think that much necessarily will come of that. But it's another blow to the Islamic State's sense of security. And of course, if you're someone that's trying to consume propaganda, talk to your terrorist mates online, and you suddenly realize that, oh, actually, maybe I'm not as secure here as I thought I was, then that will change the way that some individuals are operating. But more broadly, it's indicative of the sorry state of the virtual caliphate at the moment. What this is kind of showing is that it needs the real world stuff in order to be able to have the cyber menace that it used to have. And as the Islamic State loses more territory, it needs some way to legitimize itself, in a way to show that, yeah, we may not have the territory, but we still have the ability to perpetrate attacks abroad or inspire attacks abroad. Actually, now I think it's most desperate to incite and perpetrate acts of terrorism abroad. So it could even be more threatening now than it ever has been.
Charlie Winter, a senior research fellow at the International Center for the Study of Radicalization. Thank you very much.
Thank you.